You're listening to the Batuta Advocate's weekly news wrap on Desert Rock FM 96.5.
Okay, well, we'll start now. Hello.
Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen and the rest of yous, this is the Batuta Advocate Weekly Bulletin. My name is Clancy Overall. I'm joined by Wendell Hussey and Errol Parker. And these are the biggest stories of the week we're about to read to you. But first, I'll just ask how everyone's going. What's going on here, Wendell? You've done yourself a mischief.
Mate. Came off the Yamaha over the weekend out the back of town there. So probably fucked it up, but trying to avoid surgery, I guess. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. Miss is not very happy at all, obviously, because I can't really help out with a couple of little ones there. So I'm in a bit of trouble, but anyway.
Mostly grazes, as I can see on you now.
No, well, it might be a couple of pins in there. And so if that happens, then I can't obviously pick up and do the bath times and all that sort of stuff. So
tell me, you had your areolas shrunken.
Yes.
In an operation last year that kept you out of the newsroom for quite some time. Yep. It appears now that you might have grazed it off. What happens if you graze it off? It just heals back.
They don't grow back.
Nah, they're not like fingernails or anything like that.
Not
they're
like an amphibian's leg. They don't come back.
So they just... It just becomes end up with like a massive genderless flesh. Peck.
Yeah. A genderless peck.
Think...
You look like a Ken doll.
Yeah.
Nothing to rub, nothing to touch.
They can get a bit uddery because of where the focal point is, but...
A bit uddery?
Yeah, like a... an animal, not wherever you're going, but yeah, it's
jeez, I tell you what, you upset a lot of people if you keep going down that route, man.
Yep. So anyway, yeah, no, they don't grow back, Clancy, which is it's not great. So anyone out there thinking about it, that's the thing with surgeons, they don't really spell out all of the kind of long-term consequences. They just look at what's the easiest way for them to bill the better part of, you know, anywhere between $3,500 to $20,000, $25,000, whatever they feel
like. Well, mate, it takes a while to study medicine. They deserve to be paid out the arse in some sort of pyramid scheme.
And you need to remember, every time you're dealing with a surgeon or indeed, you know, any medical professional, that all of them are on the autism spectrum. I mean, all of them, look, they're granted very, very high functioning, but to basically want to, you know, it's an unnatural urge to want to cut a person open and touch their naked organs.
Straight up.
And if you speak to most of them,
a bit slow.
None of them do it, you know, because they want to, you know, help people. People don't become surgeons to better humanity. You know, they do it to get paid a lot of money.
And to be treated like gods, obviously.
That's the thing. It's like they came from getting the A-plus students, HD students, HD-plus students, and then after school they needed that gratification. So they just continued down the path that would allow that the longest in their young adulthood, which is studying medicine. They still pick on each other about grades and oh my God, can you believe me?
I'm the surgeon's favorite. I'm the professor's this.
I know, but look.
And then it all falls apart when they reach about 45 and have some catastrophic bullying case against them, and then they realize that they...
Yeah, you can't spit on the nurses anymore.
Nah. Or give them a nice little firm cut to the buttock when they walk past if they've done a good job.
Most of them are just rich kids with good recall memory. I mean, that's
like
all,
actors.
That's all you need to pass a degree in medicine, is a good recall memory and the ability to live in a nice environment and not pay rent. You know, most importantly, have a parent who is also a doctor and in the field that you want to go into. You know, it's just like living with a library, living with a lecturer.
It's like, yeah, being a barrister in the legal fraternity as well.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Personally, I prefer immigrants. Broken English immigrants as my medical professionals, because there's no emotion and fucking status in it. They're just like, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck how this happened. They don't ask questions when I come in there with suspicious things going on in my body.
You're a different case, though, I think. It's one of the skills of a doctor to ask questions, and I know... You know,
well, I already know what's wrong. I just need it fixed a lot of the time.
In that case, but for other people, they do need to ask questions, and that's sometimes...
Well, the thing is, a great doctor will tell you what's wrong. A great doctor will tell you...
Yeah, Absolutely. After they've done a little bit of fact finding, and I know they don't want to do fact finding in your case, and that's great, and it's good to have the emotional intelligence to not go into that and dig too deep. But for other people who have things that they don't know,
I just walk in there and I go, "Listen, Dr. Chan, something's fucking clicking."
Do you say doctor, or did you say listen, Chan?
Well, I actually say listen, Jackie Chan, which
is
a bit of an offensive joke, but.
Look, just one last thing that boils, that boils my piss about the medical industry is that you can have like something like minorly wrong with you and your GP's like, you need to go and see a specialist who happens to be a friend of mine and I think they're really good. And then you go and see the specialist, pay them $400 for a consultation and they're like, nothing's wrong with you, bruh.
Mm.
Speaking of kind of peculiar people, let's talk about South Australians.
Mm, our closest capital city. It's our first story of the week, with South Australian tourism demanding that the nation stop saying Rattleaid, like that's worse than serial killer capital.
Yes, I'll have to try and speak my finest Queens for this next one. Rather than embracing the historic nicknames for the fifth most populated city, the South Australian Tourism Board have attempted to discontinue Rattleaid and the City of Churches nicknames. This comes as part of an optimistic memo titled Content Exclusions and was handed out during and after the Gather Round AFL event in the Rattleaid.
Yes, it's not really known why the tourism body for the City of Churches has asked people to stop calling them by their very respectable and historic nicknames, given things like the Snowtown Bodies in the Barrels murders are probably a little less palatable than their churches. No reference was made to nicknames such as the Serial Killer Capital or Barrel Town or Murderlaid. But the tourism people have yet to clear up what we are supposed to call them. Someone suggested calling them Rattlesnake. The Rattlesnake, I like that.
The Hilltop Hoods calls it the City of Light.
The City of Light?
I don't get it. Mm.
I just find this memo weird. They haven't actually asked what they want people to say, right? They just said don't call
this. No, don't
that.
Say this.
Yeah, don't City say Church, this, but what are you
Because they're trying to reposition themselves as like a wine and a culture place. The City of Churches is not really, not many people are getting up and about
not in light of
that kind of tourism.
Recent royal commissions.
Yeah. Come to Adelaide, the nation's colostomy bag.
But it's also like there's no, like the churches aren't that good. No, I would gladly do a church tour of fucking Barcelona when Gaudi's created these monstrosities that are, you know, feats of architecture. But you go down to Adelaide, they were built by some fucking free settler.
Or a Lutheran or a German.
Yeah, just blonde brick fucking.
You're not looking at the Duomo. Moving on to some property news now from our home state. And Chili and Bandit, the dogs from the hit show Bluey, have agreed to sell their house after a foreign investor offered them an eye-watering sum of money for their Red Hill property.
Yes, Wendell, famous for portraying everyday life in the form of a dog family, the writers of Bluey have nailed yet another relatable episode of the hit show. Titled Ghost Basket, the newly released episode follows the story of Bluey's family actualizing their notable property wealth in the form of their Red Hill home.
That's right, a humble family of Blue Heelers in the leafy inner west suburbs of Brisbane have cashed in big time on the Australian property boom. With local real estate agents finally getting their way, Bandit and Chili have accepted an eye-watering offer for their 1,200 square metre block of land with a beautiful old multicoloured Queenslander in a location on the property that will allow for a very profitable subdivision. Or in the case of the Queenslanders, you can just stump them and fuck them off. Sell them to someone down in the back hills of Bangalore who are struggling getting a DA in. They can just stump a timber Queenslander.
Or Lismore.
Yeah, Lismore. And I'll put them on some serious stilts if you send them down to Lismore.
Or Casino.
The Blue Heeler parents have revealed they'll be able to buy a nice place with a pool in Chermside and comfortably still keep $1 million in the bank or so. It's a pretty good outcome for them, and, you know, this is what's destroying society.
That's a lot of schmackos for just a few dogs, isn't it?
They might be going wacko.
Yo!
Speaking of people going wacko, and a local man has revealed that he'd rather inject himself with bootleg Ozempic than make any adjustments to his diet and or exercise routine.
Yes, a Batuta Heights man who's motivated to change his ways and better himself has confirmed to the Advocate today that he's found a solution to the consequences of his metabolism slowing in adulthood. Rather than adopting an active lifestyle, Josh Juice Jug says it's easier to just inject an illicit appetite suppressant into his body.
Yes, the more regulated brand name Ozempic, or the liquid lap band as it's known, is a medication primarily used to manage type 2 diabetes. It's typically administered as a once-weekly injection and is often prescribed alongside diet and exercise to help control blood sugar levels in adults with type 2 diabetes. However, for Josh, getting the prescription was not feasible, so he decided to just buy a bootleg version of the stuff online at a website called Temu. When that arrived, he just jabbed it in his gut. And he said to us, it's a secret version of the secret to weight loss.
And I believe he did prove that, giving the entire interview whilst eating a Choc Top, Errol Parker.
Yes, he was eating a Choc Top that he got out of the fridge. He says he goes to the movies especially just to buy Choc Tops from the bar.
Oh, he gets the legit ones.
He gets the proper ones. And yeah, no, look, him and his cat had a Choc Top. So he was holding a Choc Top for his cat.
Hmm.
And his cat was going mad for it.
Talk now, about a lot of having people, your Choc Top and your cat eating it too.
A lot of people exactly. In the comments didn't like the commentary around that article because they thought it was reiterating old stereotypes that simply exercising and dieting is enough to lose weight if you burn calories than you intake. And I understand what they're saying, but they need to understand that this actual subject is one of those fat cunts that you know, like
a proper certified
fat. Yeah, it's a proper
fatty.
Fat cunt. There's no thyroid problem here. There's no excuse at all. He actually eats too much and he doesn't exercise and he doesn't want to change his ways. So he's using Ozempic illegal Ozempic to shortcut some form of exertion that might help him live longer.
Well,
so he is an old-fashioned fat cunt.
But look, you have to take into account, Clancy, that we're just a few short days away from commemorating, you know, all the service that the Anzacs have given to this country, and indeed all of us too. And you know, we are going to pause and remember your great granduncle Roberto.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, yeah, he was actually captured in the fall of Singapore and ended up on the Thai Burma Railway. But he actually left to go to the war. Morbidly obese for that time, which was, I guess, probably 20 kilos overweight. And in his time in the Thai Burma Railway, he didn't lose a kilo.
He didn't, no. He proved that starvation
had
extreme exertion of the human
but
body
he
isn't
had,
enough.
He had a very slow metabolism. And it would have been tough for him.
No, he had the...
Especially.
He had the excuses. He proved it doesn't matter if you were spending 20 hours a day building railroads and eating half a steel cup of rice a night. Sometimes it's just not... Sometimes there's no
work.
Option but to
he
use bootleg
He was too
busy
with work as well to focus on his health.
That's what they... That was the first iteration of the man shake.
Yeah.
Was the Anzac shake, which was a cup of rice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And extreme...
Keep the beers.
Labor. Yeah.
Keep the beers. Lose the cut and keep the beers.
You can keep the sake.
On the topic of beers, our final story of the week is about a pint-sized local man buying himself a new Ford Ute that's so goddamn big he needs a stepladder to get into it.
Yes, from fat cunts to short cunts, pindix, if you will. A local tradesman from our town's humble Flight Path District has shifted his hyper-masculinity into fifth gear today. Brad Short King, 29. Has done so with the purchase of a brand new Ford F6969, the biggest ute the country has ever seen.
Following in the footsteps of oversized fuel-guzzling icons like the F-150 and the F-450, the new F6969 is 8.5 tons of pure grunt, muscle and diesel. They aren't actually available for purchase here in Australia, but BSK managed to import one from the States for the very affordable price of $400,000 Australian pesos. Worth it all, according to the man who stands a touch over 5'7", who can now lord over the pathetic Raptor and Zuzi drivers. Good for him.
I think it takes up roughly 4.5 standard parks down at the shops. So it's as big as they get. Very exciting.
He can't actually get
man.
Through the Maccas. No.
Yeah.
He has to too have on the back of it, do not overtake turning vehicle.
If you can't see my mirrors, I can't see you.
That's true.
Without trucks, Australia stops.
That's also true.
I'm just thinking of all the different bumper stickers.
You're now passing another fox.
Lindsay Fox. he has lobbied against the construction of railroads in this country.
He also lives in Boomerang in Elizabeth Bay.
And Portsea, where Dan Andrews apparently got pushed down the stairs. Okay, that's enough. We're revealing too many deep state secrets here.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Batuta Advocates Weekly Bulletin. Hooroo.
Bye-bye.
Wagwan.